What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 241 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We are going to be breaking down the Dawning Weapons. There are four of them. Cold Front, Glacioclasm, Avalanche, and Zephyr. We're going to be breaking those down for you because they have all been around before, but this time they have some new perks on them. So we're going to be talking about what roles you should be hunting for. I myself am still, years later, hunting for a God-rolled Glacioclasm. But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. How are you doing this evening, Kit?
Doing pretty well, Mercules. I am really enjoying the 30th anniversary celebration, really enjoying the Dawning. And I just feel like I am spoiled for quests to pursue and things to check off my list to do in Destiny. And honestly, just wanting to go and play the new activities and have fun and play the old activities for that matter. How about you, man?
Yeah, I've been enjoying myself as well. I actually started a new account earlier this week. I started a new account, as I may have mentioned before, either on the show or somewhere else, that I got a couple of my buddies and a couple of my brothers to finally pick up Destiny. I finally convinced them to do it. And one of my buddies played the first mission by himself. Or sorry, my middle brother played the first mission by himself and was like, fuck this. And literally like quit. Because he was like, I didn't know where the fuck I was doing, where the fuck I was going. I got stuck. I got lost. I couldn't figure out what I was trying to do. He literally didn't get through the first mission. He quit. So the second buddy, when he logged on, I was like, hold on. I was like, don't run the first mission yet. I'm going to create a brand new account and I'm going to play through all of this stuff with you so I can like hold your hand and walk you through all of it. So I've actually been playing a lot on a brand new account. And let me tell you, the new player intro is not a great experience. Like, he has even straight up said to me, like, if I weren't doing this with you, I would have stopped playing because I would have no idea what I'm doing. There's very little story. It just throws you right into like doing bounties and fetch quests and stuff, which is the least fun shit ever.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
It's really, really poor. But on the flip side of that, whenever he's not playing, I've been loving the Dares of Eternity. Super fun activity. I've played more of that than I've probably played any activity since Menagerie, realistically, out of all these seasonal activities they've given us. The new guns are great. I love the BXR. I love the Forerunner still. I'm hunting for that max range retrace path. I actually got a max stability one with Perpetual Motion and Harmony. It's great.
Nice.
It's great. But I want max range. I feel like it doesn't help me to have that much stability because there's already like no recoil at that point in time. So I'm still hunting for that, but I've been playing a ton, honestly, and I'm looking forward to playing a lot more this weekend too.
I did pick up a Perpetual Motion Kill Clip BXR. I have not yet had a chance to take it into the Crucible.
Oh,
I've been playing on PC doing PvE stuff all week, but I am planning to try it out in the near future. And I can say at least in PvE, it feels incredibly stable. So
it is.
Yeah,
it is. It's great. And, you know, high zoom too on the battle rifle. I mean, it's fantastic. Just enjoy it. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. You're going to really like it when you use it.
Yeah, I'm excited. Okay, well, let's dive into a little bit of housekeeping and get started here with some shout outs to our patrons. So if you don't know, if this is your first time listening to the show, we don't have sponsors in the traditional sense. We don't sell you any powders, potions, microphones, racing chairs, etc. All we do is give you the facts as we see them and share some analysis and experience and hope that that helps you improve your game. And in appreciation of that, a number of very generous guardians have chosen to support us on Patreon, and we thank them for it. So this week, brand new, coming in with their first pledges ever, thank you to Simaccio and Admiral Rob. We appreciate you joining the patron crew. We hope to see you in the secret patrons corner in the Discord, and also out in the wild in Destiny. Now, we've got patrons who are incredibly generous, and then we've got a special level of patron, those folks who are fortunate enough to be able to support us at a level that is honestly, something we added almost as a joke because we didn't think anyone would ever want to give us that level of support. But it turns out actually that we must be doing something right because we have some guardians at the level of the nine. We call them sponsors. So, big thank you to Blackhammer Tech, ZenSoCal, Binary Wolf, Deacon, A Solitary Bird, The Shazzle, Starscream S13, Conquer King 420, Askian Monk, and there's a Mystery Guardian who is joining the sponsor crew in the new year here, it looks like. And so we will be given a special welcome to a new sponsor when we return in 2022. Very exciting. So thank you so much to all of these guardians for their generous support. If you see that gold flare in the Discord or that burnt orange for the sponsors, please, please show them some respect. Show them some gratitude. They are giving generously to support this podcast. Keep it sponsor free. Keep it the bad kind of sponsor free. And not necessarily bad, but commercial. We like to be more of a public radio type service, and keeps us independent and honest and accountable only to our fellow guardians. And that's the way we like it. So with that, I will pass it over to you to say thank you to another group of guardians that we deeply appreciate.
So what you're saying is the nine is actually going to be 10 guardians.
It is.
In the new year. Yeah, we grandfathered one of them into an old form of donating pre-patron, and we've just allowed him to continue giving that way. So technically, there are nine spots on Patreon, and all nine of those are now filled, and we have one additional guardian for the 10, and then that's it. That's it. A limited club. Now admission is closed.
Right. That's right. There's only so much generosity that we can stand. So, with that said, wow. Thank you to everyone out there. Y'all are incredible. This has been a mind-blowing, record-setting year for Destiny Massive Breakdowns. And we're gonna close it out with a breakdown, because that is just the thing to do. But before we get to that,
we actually hit 300,000 listens this year, that's a crazy amount of listens. We've never even broken 200,000 in a year. We've never even broken 200,000 in a year, and this year we broke 300,000. So yeah, definitely the podcast caught some energy somewhere out there and just reached a whole new crowd of listeners. But yeah, we appreciate everybody. Obviously, we appreciate the patrons and the sponsors, and we appreciate the listeners. But there's a fourth group, I should say, that we really, really appreciate. And it's everybody who leaves us a podcast review. Helps us a lot with discoverability. We've actually been cracking into the top 50 in the US video games charts, which is insane. That's really, really amazing. But it helps a lot with discoverability when we have a high review score. It lets people know that when they tune in, they're going to hear hopefully a pretty good show, especially now that we figured out the sound quality. 5.5 years into making a podcast, we've gotten a little bit better. But this guardian is a Merciful Blood. He says, great podcast, 5 stars. I just recently found this podcast, and now I found myself more invested in the universe of Destiny and love the feeling of getting one of the guns that was talked about on the show, being able to experience it for myself. So I actually had someone mention this in Discord the other day, but they said that it was fun for them when they heard our show and we either talked about a weapon that we were really high on, or specifically a role that we were really high on. It was really enjoyable for them to go into their vault and have that role. And it was like finding an Easter egg or something like that. Or it was fun when they got that role to drop and they were like, oh, I recognize that role. Like I've heard it be talked about before. I know it's good. I'm going to keep that. And they said that it was cool. And I thought that that's pretty neat. That like, we talk about these roles and it makes enough of an impression that someone's like, oh, look, I have that role. Like, that's fun. I care more about this now because I've heard people talking about it. Whereas before I'd just be like, oh, a role.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And I'm glad that that happens because, I get that feeling too. When we talk about something on the show, we talk about a combination of perks that I'm excited about. It just sort of feeds on itself. And then when I go out and I'm able to find that weapon, as I did with my Perpetual Motion Kill Clip BXR, it gets me really excited to use it, even if I'm not like always right away using it in the content that I'm intending it for. But just to, like, I'm playing with a pulse rifle in PvE, which I never do, because I'm just happy to have this role. So I'm really glad that some of you out there are sharing that excitement.
So thank you very much for that review. Please remember, if you guys would like to leave us a review on Apple Podcast, as soon as we get it, we will read it out. If you're international, it helps to send us a ping on Discord or Twitter or something and let us know, because our aggregator does not update live. So it may take a week or 2 weeks before you see your international review. If you leave a review elsewhere, that's not necessarily iTunes, that's totally cool too. We might not see it. So just again, send us a ping, tell us where you left it. We'll go grab it and we'll read it out all the same. And, you know, remember, we do this show and these breakdowns because we want to know these roles for ourselves. Like, that's what got us into doing this, is I was making a list of roles for my own usage because I wanted to know what guns I should be targeting or what roles were good. And yeah, Kutch was doing it for the gunsmith weapons for, you know, Wednesday. What was it? Arms Day.
Yep.
So we were doing this because it was giving us joy to do it for ourselves. And we figured, you know, why not just share it with more people?
Yep. Yep. It's a simple origin story. But, you know, that really defines, I think, what this podcast is all about. And hopefully we've stayed pretty true to that origin. So, well, speaking of staying true to our roots here, we started out breaking down weapons, comparing stats, looking at perks. And today on Destiny Massive Breakdowns, we're going to compare stats, look at perks, and break down some guns. Specifically, it is the dawning in Destiny 2 right now. Everything is covered in snow and wintry, and there are snowballs and cookies, and Saint is just a big teddy bear, and it's adorable, and I love it. And yeah, so we've got some dawning weapons. Time to revisit them and see how things shake out for them in the current meta.
Yeah, so we can probably start with Cold Front. Cold Front is an aggressive SMG. Now, the aggressive SMGs, they have a listed RPM of 750 rounds per minute, and they do fire, at least they appear to fire at 750 rounds per minute. But if you guys do recall, the tick rate of Destiny's game or engine is locked at 30 ticks per second. So even though they say that they fire at 750, and if you are looking at it at frame rates above 60, it will indeed appear to fire at 750 RPM. But when you break it down to 30 frames per second, they're pretty much identical to the 720 RPM auto rifles. So they alternate in 2 frames per shot and 3 frames per shot. They actually alternate between 600 RPM and 900 RPM in order to hit 720 RPM. And so it deals damage pretty much identically to that. So it's been a sticking point, a weird point of contention for quite a while. But alas, it seems that functionally, until Destiny's tick rate climbs up higher, maybe closer to 60, we're not going to be getting a lot of those weird in-between RPM numbers that some of their games are capable of putting out there. But that's all right. We honestly don't need more archetypes, do we?
We have quite a variety as is. And as we've discussed before, we could really stand to do with a few less.
SMGs in particular.
Yes. Maybe focus on making the ones that stick around more viable and give them a more clear value proposition. But that all said, let's talk about Cold Front specifically and how it stacks up to some other submachine guns.
Yeah, it's not great. Let's be entirely honest here. I'm not generally a fan of the aggressives anyways. I have been known to play around with a little bit of the Ikelos. Ikelos is a pretty great PvE submachine gun, but we are a PvP-focused podcast here. And as far as PvP goes, I do not like the aggressives. And in particular, I really don't like Cold Front, at least stat-wise. Let's break it down. Optimal TTK, super fast, 0.67 seconds. Until you realize that's 9 crits and 0 bodies, the chances of you actually hitting that optimal TTK, I'm going to be honest here, probably zero. You're much more likely to be hitting the accuracy adjusted TTK at 0.77 seconds, which is still pretty good. That's 6 crits, 4 bodies, definitely a lot easier. The body shot TTK is 1 second flat, 13 bodies. If you want to look at the stats, man, range, not great. Obviously, you don't expect it to be great. It's a submachine gun, but the range is 46. That's not even really particularly great for the aggressives. You got Ikelos at 54. You got Extraordinary Rendition, which comes from Battlegrounds at 48. it's kind of middle of the road, so it's kind of average. And then, of course, you've got precisions, right, like Shiura's, which not only have way, way higher range at 63, but they also have higher zoom. The big problem with Cold Front is the zoom is way, way low. It's 1.3 times zoom.
Yeah.
Shiura's is 1.7 times for comparison's sake. And then on top of that, you have actually the second worst stability of any submachine gun out there, 16 base stability. And it is horrible. You 100% feel it. You feel the aim assist degradation. You feel the jump. You feel the kick. As a controller player, without the right roll, I have found this gun to be borderline unusable, which is kind of unfortunate. Handling is pretty okay at 58. That's a middle of the road, a little above average for all submachine guns in general. It's kind of, once again, in the middle of the aggressives. You've got Aikolos and Extraordinary Edition that are both higher than it. Aikolos much higher than it at 73. Reload speed 27, that's bad, just like flat out bad, but it's an SMG, they all reload pretty fast by default. Aim assist, also absolutely freaking horrendous, 29 aim assist, that is abysmal. The only one lower is the old Hard Truce from Crucible, which I think Hard Truce has the distinction of going out as the worst submachine gun that we've ever gotten, and this is only barely one step above it. Now, the recoil direction is 92, that is pretty good. The mag size is 27, that's on the smaller end for an SMG. So overall, stat wise, definitely not jumping off the page and grabbing you, is it?
It is not, except to say, ooh, this better have some good perks. It really does not impress here at all. I mean, none of the aggressives do, with the exception of the Aikolos SMG. They're all pretty bad, stat wise. And the Aikolos is more like, I can probably work with this with the right perks, then it is great. So, and it's head and shoulders above Cold Front in my mind. So yeah, it's pretty not good at the outset.
Yeah. My biggest problem with it is, like, you really have no choice here, especially as a controller player. Like, you have to spec into stability, because why would you bother speccing into range, right? Like, you just use a Shiura's. If you're trying to get an SMG that's rangy, just use the Shiura's. So then that leaves you pretty much only stability to spec into. But even if you get a stability masterwork, polygonal rifling, and something like tactical mag, you're still only looking at like 39 stability.
Yeah.
Which is still horrible. And then you basically are saying, okay, well, now I have to get another stability perk in one of the trait slots. So it's either perpetual motion, dynamic sway reduction, or under pressure. And you're doing all this just to end up with a still like average stability on an SMG.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to get to a point where the gun is not just incredibly unstable, to be totally blunt. I agree, you have to have a stability masterwork on this, at least on controller. Again, PC, with its native stability, is going to be somewhat better, but I have to think not better enough that you're going to get away with no stability on PC. I think you're still going to need some help to try to smooth this gun out. Polygonal rifling, again, I think I can completely agree. That's the optimal choice here. I would take chambered compensator as a second, just because it gives me a nice big stability buff.
Or small bore.
And small bore would be a third for me, because it doesn't give you quite as much stability, but it's still something. And then tactical mag and flared magwell, I think, in the magazine slot are the optimal choices. I wouldn't be mad at steady rounds, although I don't know if that's a trade-off that's worth it or not. I guess range on SMGs actually really doesn't do a whole lot. Each point of range is not worth very much distance.
Well, It does and it doesn't, right? Like, they're all stuck under 15 meters, pretty much, you know, outside of Shiura's, obviously. I should say the aggressives are all stuck under 15 meters, right? So I would kind of be upset about steady rounds if I didn't have small bore, just because, like, now you're going to be at, like, the 12.5 meter range. And, like, that's just super shitty. Like, you're going to be getting outranged by sidearms and stuff like that. And that's just not a ton of fun. So if I got small bore, I'd be okay with steady rounds. If I didn't get small bore, if I didn't get something that bumps my range up at all, I'd probably want flared magwell or tactical mag.
So I take it back. Actually, I think small bore steady rounds is the optimal configuration, right? Yeah. There. That'll give you 48 range, 45 stability. That's more than you can otherwise end up with in either of those columns. So I think that's your best possible bet. But polygonal rifling, chambered compensator, both fine. Like you said, maybe not the best to pair with steady rounds. Tactical mag or flared magwell would do quite well. But it, personally, if I had polygonal rifling and steady rounds, I'd still give it a shot, see how it felt. And then, yeah, in the next column, I think you need more stability. Now, you do have choices in that first trade slot. You've got surplus. So if you are playing a strategy that involves you conserving your abilities, surplus can work quite well. You get 5 points of stability for having one ability up, 15 for two, which is a pretty significant bonus. That's going to give you the same bonus as steady rounds. And then 25 when you have all three, which is a huge stability buff. Dynamic sway reduction is actually a phenomenally powerful perk on submachine guns. It's probably my top choice here, having not tested perpetual motion. And I would actually say it's probably likely to remain my top choice because there's no triggering effect and there's no buildup for it. It activates so quickly on SMGs because the rate of fire is so high that if you have decent stability and dynamic sway reduction, you're going to get no visible bloom in your shots. Your aim assist is going to stay very steady, and your accuracy is going to stay very steady. Now, that's not to say that you don't need other stability perks, but it's just to say that dynamic sway reduction is top tier. You've got under pressure, which is not bad. Under pressure works, but you do have to get the magazine below 50, which leaves you with very few shots. Very, very few shots. You really can't afford to miss with under pressure. And then perpetual motion, brand new perk, super strong. Feels like it gives some very significant bonuses, stability, handling, and reload speed while you're in motion, which if you're playing with a submachine gun, you're probably in motion. That said, it does not activate immediately. So if you do get caught briefly standing still, you've let your bonus drop. You might find yourself with your pants down, and that's gonna be very embarrassing for you.
Yeah. I mean, in playing with it, I've noticed that I pretty much have perpetual motion up 100% of the time. And I'm playing, you know, pulse rifle, scout rifle, really, with Forerunner or pulse rifle bow. So that's not really the most mobile of play styles. So I would imagine with an SMG, you'll probably have it up 100% of the time.
I would expect.
That being said, depending on how much of a bonus, and we don't know exactly how much of a bonus to stability that perpetual motion gives. I've seen estimates ranging from, you know, 10 to 20 total. I was talking to Cool Guy about it the other day, and he thinks that it's probably got to be less than 20 because it's a much easier perk to proc than something like surplus. And surplus doesn't give more than 15 until you have all three of your abilities. So he estimates it's probably around 10 to 15, somewhere around there. I think that's probably about right. You know, even if you do have perpetual motion and you've got the previous role we talked about, small bore steady rounds, you're still only going to be above average, right? So it's almost not enough of a bonus. It's almost not enough of a bonus to make it worthwhile. But, you know, surplus, we've talked about it before. For my playstyle, surplus doesn't really work. I'm constantly using all my abilities. Like the second I have dodge up, my dodge is gone. The second I have smoke up, like I'm using my smoke to bait radar or something like that. So, you know, I'm constantly throwing void wall. So I don't get a ton out of surplus, but I'm a hunter. I know warlocks that surplus is a, you know, must have perk for them because they're always waiting on their abilities for the exact right time. And I know Titans are the same way. So it depends on your playstyle. Surplus can either be like the easy tier one choice, or it can just be for you, like not really that helpful at all. Dynamic sway reduction, yeah, like you said, kind of a gold standard. It's going to help everybody. It begins it begins its effectiveness immediately upon not firing, and the effectiveness only gets higher. You know, by the tail end of your engagement, you're going to have a ton of extra accuracy. You're going to have extra stability. It's a great perk. Under pressure, I like under pressure, but the problem is this doesn't have a big magazine anyways. And so under pressure, you're going to get to it pretty quick, but you're not going to have a long time with it active. And unless you're running around with half a magazine, which you should not be doing with this gun, you run the risk of not getting a ton of uptime out of it, right? So for me, I think dynamic sway reduction is sitting up there at the top. Surplus and perpetual motion are right underneath it, depending on your playstyle. For me, I'm probably going to take perpetual motion. For someone who's holding onto abilities longer, I think surplus is an easy choice over perpetual motion.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. And that's the redeeming factor in this version of Cold Front is that you do have a lot of solid options available to you to help make the gun feel better. Now, in that final slot, we are essentially spoiled for choice again, but this time for damage perks and Thresh. And there's a few of those that are better in PvP than others, and then some of them are obviously really more oriented toward PvE, where they're very effective.
Yeah, we have Rampage, obviously great for PvE and PvP. We have Surrounded, pretty much only good for PvE, but very good for PvE. You have Swashbuckler, which is great for PvE and good to great for PvP, depending on your playstyle. As a Night Stalker with a smoke grenade, not super great for me. Pretty much never getting that times five, or very rarely. Used to be great for Shoulder Charge Titans. Much less great now, because Shoulder Charge has kind of gone away. Tremendously good for Weighted Throwing Knife Hunters, if they can hit their Weighted Throwing Knives.
Yeah, so this is essentially one of those perks where I think you have to spec into a melee-specific build. You know, maybe that means you have to put your shoulder charge pants on. I don't know. But it is one of those perks that can be good, but sometimes Rampage is just easier. And then we've got One for All, which is very much a PvE-only perk, but does give a pretty sizable damage buff. And one that's fairly easy to keep up with a spray and pray weapon like Cold Front. Very easy to just spray across the front of ranks of enemies and get the 35% damage bonus going and then maintain that. That said, is it better than Surrounded? I think it depends on the type of content you're playing and maybe your personal preference. And then you've got Harmony at the end, which I think is a really, really phenomenal option to have available. And might be a bit of a sleeper choice for PvP. If you are playing with a special weapon that you are very effective at getting kills with, Harmony could come in really handy here to have Cold Front as a bit of a holdout weapon. Say, get a kill with your shotgun or fusion rifle. And then maybe you're out of ammo or you need to reload. You can swap to Cold Front. You've got a 20% damage buff and a big handling bonus to help you draw that weapon faster. You've got 7 seconds to use it.
And Harmony is pretty effective on Cold Front as well. So if we're talking damage numbers, Rampage is going to bring one shot off the optimal TTK, take it from 0.67 to 0.6. But where it really shines is the accuracy adjusted TTK becomes 0.67 seconds with 6 crits and 3 bodies. That's what Rampage does, right? Now, Rampage requires you to get a kill with it in its unbuffed state to proc Rampage. Harmony, on the other hand, makes the optimal TTK 0.6, but with 6 crits and 2 bodies instead of 8 crits. So you can actually maybe hit that optimal TTK. And then the accuracy adjusted is 0.67 with 4 crits and 5 bodies, almost a guarantee at that point. So yeah. Harmony, in my opinion, is actually the better of the two perks in this situation because you don't have to use the gun in its unbuffed state. You can get a kill with potentially a stronger weapon, switch to Harmony, and all of a sudden Cold Front is much, much scarier with Harmony active. Plus, if you have perpetual motion will already be proc'd when you switch to the gun as long as you've been moving.
Yeah, yep. Very strong combination right there, I think. And perpetual motion, of course, gives you a handling buff as well. That's one of the advantages that it has over dynamic sway reduction is that handling buff. And submachine guns by default have pretty decent handling. Cold Front at 58 is, it's not crazy good, but it's pretty darn good for a submachine gun. And so if you can take that and you can push it up higher and higher with both Harmony and Perpetual Motion, I think this makes a really fantastic weapon to back up kind of a more special focused game style. And the only thing you'd be giving up versus dynamic sway reduction is dynamic sway does have a very powerful effect on accuracy. There's always a little give and a little take, a little opportunity cost, depending on which way you want to go. But I think that's a really, really solid option right there.
I don't think you could go wrong with either one of those two. Now for PvE, of course, your barrel doesn't really matter a ton. You might as well just go stability in your barrel for PvE. I like to go with a reload speed masterwork for PvE, obviously. And I like to go with, if I can get it, additional mag size for PvE, but I will take reload speed. So a pinned mag, tactical mag, flared mag. Well, for PvE, I think there's really only the one option and trait slot one, and it's subsistence, right? Fantastic pairing with Rampage in particular.
Yep, I agree. The only thing I was going to say is I actually, on submachine guns, really like alloy magazine because I empty them a lot. And it's just phenomenally powerful when you're emptying the mag. That said, I'm not sure it's the best pairing with subsistence since you are going to be emptying the mag slightly less often.
And subsistence also works really well with Swashbuckler, depending on your playstyle. If you're getting a bunch of melee kills, Swashbuckler is probably the better option compared to Rampage. Swashbuckler might just flat out be the better option anyways, because you can stack it, you know, more than you can Rampage. Although it doesn't actually give you... didn't they level the numbers? Didn't it used to be that in PvE it gave you a higher damage buff? But now I think they've leveled the numbers out, correct? So
I believe they have.
It's only a little bit higher than what Rampage offers, like just barely, just fractionally higher. So in that case, you know, Rampage, if you're just getting kills and not melee kills, is probably still the best option.
It is. And you've also got Rampage spec, that oft forgotten mod that's available that makes Rampage considerably easier to use. It gives it 4.5 seconds of time rather than 3.5. Which puts it on par with Swashbuckler, which by default has a duration of 4.5 seconds. So just that extra second sometimes is all you need to secure the kill and keep the chain going.
Yeah. And then One for All is a good perk for in-game PvE where you might not necessarily be killing your targets that you're putting damage on. And then obviously Surrounded is pretty great as well. All you have to do is have some enemies around you, which if you've got an SMG on, you probably have a handful of enemies around you. Although, a lot of times, I feel like that's a really fantastic perk for Gambit, especially. Not that anyone still plays that, but you can just jump right into the heart of one of the spawns of or one of the waves of enemies that's spawning, and pretty much just have it proc the entire time as you mow through them.
Yep. Yeah. So Surrounded is one of those perks that I like to pair with Alloy Magazine, where I'm not worried about running out of ammo, especially not now, and I can just keep pumping those buffed rounds into the enemies and reloading in a flash almost without having to stop firing. So
a lot of good perks for PvE if you so choose to pull this gun out. However, you know, you also have the Ikelos aggressive SMG, and that's much, much better for PvE. So
basically, Cold Front is there. It's an option. If you want an aggressive SMG and you want it to be in the kinetic slot, then Cold Front can be a viable choice.
I feel like we spent a long time talking about Cold Front for how not very good we think it is.
I think we did.
Now let's move on to a gun that I actually do think is very, very good, or it was before the high impact fusion rifle changes. I still think it can be good with the right role. I have fun with my Iota Draconis. So Glacioclasm, obviously a high impact fusion rifle. Probably most well known for a period of time just being hands down far and away the best high impact fusion. Still kind of is. They were really hard to get a hold of because it only comes around during the dawning. I myself got a ton of them last time and could not get the role I wanted. Didn't even come close, really, but still use Glacioclasm a lot. in the season following it. You know, stats wise, kind of just head and shoulders better than a lot of the other stuff that shows up on the Fusion Rifle pages. Now, the biggest outlier was that at the time, and I believe still today, it has like 10 higher zoom, or not 10 higher zoom. I wish it had 10 higher zoom, 10 higher range than the next closest high impact Fusion, and it has higher zoom.
Yeah, it does have 1.6 zoom. For comparison, IOTA Draconis has 1.5. And you might think, oh, 0.1 zoom, that's not a big deal. But if you're a longtime listener, you know 0.1 zoom is a big deal. Zoom has a really powerful effect on range, on recoil, on stability, and just kind of how the weapon feels.
Less powerful and in most cases Fusions now because they nerfed it.
It is.
Damn you,
it
Aaron
is less
Tull.
Powerful.
Damn you, Aaron Tull.
But, you know, and rangefinder, less powerful on Fusion rifles. But just natively having that is sort of like having a free perk on Glacioclasm, which is part of what makes it so good.
So charge time now is 1 second. That's a very, very slow charge time. It takes 4 bolts to kill out of the 5 that it shoots. The whole point of the roll that I'm going to recommend is that it will no longer take 4 bolts to kill. It will take 3 bolts to kill. So the optimal TTK is 1.13 seconds. With mine, it's 1.10 seconds. The range is 67. Again, highest out of all Fusion rifles. Actually, like, legitimately pretty crazy how high it is. Everything else in the high impact class is like the highest one previously to that was Arentil, which was 59. And then it was like 57 all the way down to 51. So 67 was a huge outlier in terms of range. Stability is 36, which also is very good for a high impact Fusion. Normally their stabilities are in the lower 30s. So even, you know, the high mid 30s was pretty great. The handling also good. Handling is 40, which the next closest one's like 34. And most of them are in the mid to high 20s. The reload speed is 24. That's not great. It's actually quite bad, but that's really the only downside that it has is the low reload speed. Inventory is 26. Aim assist is kind of on the lower side at 55. They're all between 55 and 65, so it's on the lower end. It's on the lower end of aim assist values. And the recoil direction is 78, which is pretty much perfect where it is. Mag size is 5. Glacioclasm, up until I got my God Rolled IOTA Draconis, was the high impact Fusion that I was using. Pretty much nonstop, even with the crappy roll that I had, which was only like 2 out of the 4 perks that I wanted. It was the Fusion rifle that I was using. IOTA Draconis came out. I started grinding that a lot. I finally got the roll I wanted. It made a huge difference being able to 3 bolt instead of 4 bolt. And so I pretty much have swapped over to that and I never looked back. And I was really, really nervous when these Dawning weapons came back that I wasn't going to be able to get the roll, that they were going to have taken one of the perks out, but they did not. So I'm safe. So everybody knows what my role is on high impact Fusions. It's chamber compensator or extended barrel, liquid coils, under pressure, high impact reserves. Liquid coils and high impact reserves will combine to make it 3 bolt, pretty much any resilience that you can come up against. It effectively pushes the range out by pushing the damage fall off out. You know, extended barrel is going to give me another 10 on the recoil direction. Chamber compensator is going to give me another 10 on the recoil direction. I'll take one or the other. I prefer stability. Range doesn't do a ton on these high impact Fusions. I prefer stability, but you know, I'll take one or the other. And then under pressure is actually like the biggest one. Under pressure is what constrains that bolt spread at the tail end of the magazine in PvP, because you're starting with 2. You only pick up 1 or 2 per ammo brick depending on what you're running. So you pretty much can have under pressure up 100% of the time. You can have high impact reserves up 100% of the time. Liquid coils, the charge rate's so damn slow anyways, you're not going to notice one additional frame or, you know, 1/30th of a second longer. So that is the only role I want. I don't care about anything else. I don't care what anybody else tells me. I'm going to be grinding the Dawning until I get that one role, and then I can finally be at peace.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Not a whole lot else to add. On the PvP side of things, the thing that makes the most sense is to lean into what the gun is, right? So we've got some other Fusion rifles that are very strong right now. They finally succeeded in making rapid fires and precisions viable at the same time in a sandbox, and they both have their place, and I see a lot of both of them. I don't see as many of the high impacts, but I do occasionally get killed by Iota Draconis. It happens once in a while.
It's rare.
Enough to remind me that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
That said, these guns are unfortunately also currently overshadowed by the rapid fire fusion rifles in PvE, just because they can put out the damage way, way faster. And ultimately, that tends to be what pays off. The high impacts can put out a good chunk of damage, though. And so if you do choose to take one in, the kind of stuff I would be looking for would probably be things like subsistence to help keep the magazine reloaded after each kill. Demolitionist to pick up some free grenade energy. Swashbuckler is super easy to use to get a really hefty damage buff in PvE. And then Reservoir Burst is also exceedingly effective at ad clear and allows you to use one round as many and just wipe a whole swarm.
So that's actually, I hadn't thought about this because I don't PvE a ton, but that's actually what I've been told is the god role in PvE is Reservoir Burst and Subsistence. Because if you fully load the magazine, every kill you get with Reservoir Burst will reload the mag with Subsistence, and every single one procs it. So you can use Reservoir Burst on every single shot until you run out of your backup ammo.
That makes a lot of sense. And that's a pretty dope role. I will be keeping my eyes open for that now, and if I see it, it's going to have to go in the vault for a day when high impacts have their time in the sun again.
You know, I don't know if Reservoir Burst works with slide shot. Do you know if it does? If you fire a shot and then you slide to reload it? Because if it does, then you could also use that too.
Reservoir Burst just works whenever the battery is full. So if slide shot reloads it, then that also... works quite well. You fire, you slide, fire, you slide.
I would actually take slide shot over subsistence if it does work that way.
I would probably still take subsistence because you're almost guaranteed to get a kill every time you fire the weapon.
Yeah, but with slide shot, you can just slide how many times you want. Like, you don't have to get a kill. You just kill someone and slide. You can just slide whenever you want.
And you get range and ability. Kill and get the reload. I don't know. I guess slide shot does give you range and stability, which is nice. Even in PvE, sometimes it is nice to have a little more range and a little more stability. So,
yeah, I do wonder.
Your mileage may vary.
What battery perk you'd want to go with for PvE, because like you don't need really stability or range. Liquid coils, the charge rate's already really slow. I feel like the amount of extra damage you do to slow down the charge rate probably isn't worth it in PvE, but at the same time, accelerated coils, is it? Is accelerated coils or liquid coils? What are the DPS numbers on those, I wonder?
I don't know the DPS numbers, but I can say that what I would want is probably ionized battery, because extra rounds in the mag is ideal. Actually, I take it back. Ionized battery maxes out the mag. So actually, I would just want enhanced battery, just one free round in the mag. Yeah, I'll just keep killing things and my weapon will just stay fully loaded until I run out of ammunition.
Yeah, so enhanced battery and reservoir burst and slide shot or subsistence and then whatever barrel perk you want, basically, because it doesn't really matter.
Whatever I happen to get at that point, I'm pretty okay with. And then, just a damage mod of some kind.
Yeah, boss
whatever makes sense for the activity.
You can tell we PvE pretty hard, guys.
Yeah.
You can tell. You can tell. Well, it's kind of crazy. Like, I felt like, Glacioclasm I love so much more than Coldfront, but yet here we are done with Glacioclasm in like 5 minutes because I'm so dead set on the role that I want for PvP. And honestly, like, with how high impacts work right now, I don't really feel like it's worth chasing many other roles in PvP because they're not great unless you can get them into 3-bolt territory, and getting them into 3-bolt territory requires 2 out of your 4 perks. And the only perk remaining, you might as well pick the one that pairs with high impact reserves, which is under pressure. So I know it's not super exciting, but by God, couldn't get it last year. I'm going to get it this year. I feel it. Maybe.
Maybe. Fingers crossed for you.
Well, so we can move into the heavy weapons then.
Yeah, that concludes that. So we've got a machine gun and we've got a sword.
Let's talk machine guns.
Yeah, I think we talked the machine gun first.
Because you know how I feel about swords. Although, that being said, I really like the look of the two 30th anniversary swords that we got. Yeah. Was it Half Truth and the other side?
The other half? I believe it's the other half.
I think they look really cool. And so I was actually using one in Dares of Eternity last time.
They do look cool.
And I was like, oh, this is neat.
I'd like to get one. Okay, so let's talk about Avalanche. Avalanche is an adaptive machine gun. It really wants people to like it, and just people never really have. And well, that's in large part because it has never managed to live up to the one adaptive machine gun that we all fell in love with back in the Black Armory days, and that would be Hammerhead. Hammerhead is long since sunset, and so I'm not sure it's a fair comparison anymore.
Bring back the Black Armory. Blast Furnace, please. They were so good. The guns were so good.
So I think we can compare it fairly, though, to Corrective Measure from the Vault of Glass. So I will use that as a basis of comparison here. So Avalanche has 55 base range. Corrective Measure has 57. Avalanche has 46 base stability. Corrective Measure has 61. So just we're not starting off on a good note here, actually. That stability, it's pretty important on these machine guns. Handling on Avalanche is 34. It's 48 on Corrective Measure. Reload speed, one bright spot here. It's 60 on Avalanche, 49 on Corrective Measure. That makes a difference in PvE. It is completely meaningless in the Crucible. Aim assist, 90 on Avalanche. Actually, the best aim assist that you can have on a machine gun. It's tied with Thunderlord and the old Hammerhead. It is only 72 on Corrective Measure. So there is, I guess, a second bright spot here. Avalanche does, at the very least, have phenomenal aim assist. 70 recoil direction, which is not too shabby. It's 85 on Corrective Measure, which is very good. 20 inventory, 59 on Corrective Measure. That is, again, meaningless for the most part in PvP. You might get a few less rounds on Avalanche than you would with a Corrective Measure, but it's not likely to change the flow of the game in any meaningful way. In PvE, it's quite meaningful, and Corrective Measure is hands down, just based on the stats, going to be the direction you want to go. 57 mag size on Avalanche, 59 on Corrective Measure. So it's a pretty brutal comparison, I'm afraid. What's your take?
Well, machine guns just have never reached the same point. It's been like steady downhill for them. In PvP and really in PvE, I don't feel like they've done super great either outside of Xenophage, which then got nerfed anyways. In Destiny 1 PvP, machine guns were strong. In Destiny 2, you're looking at like a 0.53 second optimal TTK. So like the last word is killing as fast as a machine gun is. Their accuracy adjusted is 0.67. Like SMGs kill that fast. It has never really seemed worth it to me to run machine guns in PvP, and it's never really seemed worth it to me to run machine guns in PvE. They're not the greatest at boss DPS, and they really, really want you to use them for ad clear, but heavy ammo is such a precious commodity that it has just always seemed foolish to use them for ad clear. They're a little bit better now. They did obviously recently get a PvE buff. Perk-wise, it doesn't really do anything to like set me off for PvP specifically, too. It's just, I'm looking at the options, and I'm like,
I think what's going to happen here is we're going to get a seasonal perk at some point that is going to make machine guns the go-to weapon for a season. And I feel like it's always wise to keep a couple of good rolls of every type of weapon in the vault, if you can. And that's largely what we're doing with Avalanche.
One thing that is unique about it is that it is one of the few guns that can still roll with variable scopes, variable sights. You can actually choose which sight picture you want. Obviously, being that it is a Suros weapon, I think you and I are both going to agree that SPO 57 is just the most beautiful, beautiful sight picture that you could ever want. Gives you +4 to zoom, +13 to range, -3 to handling, but that's not really a big deal. You could also go with something crazy like one of the oculars, 37 or 41, if you really wanted to like crank that zoom up. 37 gives you +5. I think they both give you +5 zoom.
They do, yeah.
I feel like it's kind of unnecessary, especially on a machine gun. Like, it just, I mean, yeah, I guess you could use it as like a really lethal full auto scout rifle, if that's really what you want to do. I know people used to do that a lot in Gambit back before Xenophage was a thing.
Yeah, you know, and at that point, I was hyping up, hey, an extra 0.1 zoom makes a big difference. Here it's a difference between an extra 0.4 and an extra 0.5. And so it feels a little bit less impactful. I think what it comes down to is how comfortable you are with the sight picture here, right? On a fusion rifle, you're going to have basically the same sight picture, regardless of what the zoom is on it. On a machine gun, that is specifically on Avalanche, because it has scopes, that is not the case. So I can confirm SPO 57 is just a beautiful, wide open, very comfortable, easy to use scope. The oculars are a little more constrained. They feel more like long zoom scopes, even though they're only giving you just a tiny bit of extra zoom above and beyond what the SPO 57 is. So for me, probably not worth it, but if I get a roll with one, I'm still going to give it a shot and see how it feels. Just see if my opinion has changed.
And the zoom does help with the recoil as well. Constrains the recoil a bit. So,
it does. It does.
I've got one with a high zoom scope and it's fine. I don't like the sight picture as much as the 57, but it's not the worst thing ever. It is more constraining, like you said. As far as mag perks go, for PVE, you pretty much just want as much mag size as you can get. So you go extended mag, appended mag. I guess if you were using it for DPS, technically you could go alloy mag, since you're going to be emptying the magazine and it'll give you a fast reload. For PvP, for PvP, like ricochet rounds is here, which is what you always want to go with. But I do believe if you choose appended mag, you will actually get like 3 more shots when you pick up a heavy ammo brick. But the problem is you get like not really very many shots at all when you pick up a heavy ammo brick. That's actually probably the biggest problem with machine guns right now. You hardly get any ammo in PvP from a heavy ammo brick. You basically have to run a scavenger, let someone pick up the heavy, hope they die, then pick it up to get like a usable amount of ammo, which is just way more effort than it's worth. So, you know, maybe go with a pendant mag for a couple extra shots. It could potentially be one extra kill for you. Ricochet rounds, stat-wise, if you want the gun to feel good, it's obviously the best choice. And then the first trait slot, man, for PvP just like bums me out. I guess you got killing wind or surplus.
Surplus, I feel like, is the way to go.
Yeah.
The most important thing when a machine gun is your heavy weapon is not to die, which means you have to win every single 1v1. And I think unless you're super confident that no one is going to catch you by surprise, in which case, go with killing wind. If you're just, you use machine guns in PvP all the time, you're the machine gun king or queen, and you want to just rock out, like, go for it. Killing wind, it's a great perk. If you don't use machine guns as much, or if you just really want to make sure that the gun feels amazing and that you can land every headshot on every encounter, I feel like surplus is a stronger choice.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you there. Then for PVE, it's pretty much auto-loading holster. Like, it's so funny. You look at the perks that are on this gun, and they're like begging you to use it for ad clear.
Yeah.
Outlaw, Dragonfly,
Subsistence.
Swashbuckler. Subsistence. They're like, please use it for ad clear. And it's like, well, maybe when you give us guaranteed heavy ammo before boss DPS phases, we'll use it for ad clear.
Yeah.
But until then, like, it's never really made sense to me to do it. And I feel like it's hard to get over that mental hurdle of like, I have purple, save purple for boss. Save purple for yellow bar.
I will say that this would work quite well in Dares of Eternity for ad clarity. Really, really, really very well. So would any machine gun, you know. It occurs to me, like, why have I not taken Thunderlord into Dares of Eternity yet? Like, that sounds like a heck of a good time.
Yeah, and actually that does sound like fun.
You know, so I feel like it's important to highlight there are specific activities where using a machine gun for ad clear makes a lot of sense. Some in-game content as well, they can be a great option to give you the rainbow of damage types that you need in order to break shields. And so they certainly perform there in that arena, which is an arena that we rarely visit.
But, now, one way to maybe make them better in PvE would be to massively increase the reserves that they could hold.
Yeah.
Because then you'd feel a lot less shitty about using them to ad clear if you had like a ton of ammo, to where you'd have enough ammo to ad clear.
Like 500 rounds.
Right. And you had enough ammo to do boss DPS too. Like, I would feel a lot better about it then. Maybe that's something to look into. But anyways, you got auto-loading holster Vorpal weapon. That's a really good role for, you know, boss DPS if you want to use it. For PvP, kind of funny, they put opening shot on it. And it's like, but why? Because we have tap the trigger, which does what opening shot does to a certain extent, but it's just better because it lasts longer. So opening shot's just like one shot and it's a machine gun. So I don't know. To me, it's kind of like having opening shot on like a rapid fire scout rifle. It's like, oh, great. My first shot is accurate. I still have four more that I need to follow up with. Whereas tap the trigger is probably going to last for your first three shots, at least, I'd think. Maybe more.
Yeah. I mean, tap the trigger lasts for 0.6 seconds, so it should last for the entire time it takes you to kill somebody. So I would say tap the trigger is the easy choice here for this particular type of weapon.
So, for PvP, SPO 57, ricochet rounds, surplus, tap the trigger. It's going to be, you know, if you really want to take a machine gun into PvP, that's going to be a pretty good feeling roll right there.
Yeah.
Outside of the bad stats the gun has on its own.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like you're going to largely mitigate that issue with those perks. And it should by and large feel pretty okay.
And then for PvE, you know, sight is your preference. Maybe appended mag or alloy magazine. I wouldn't run alloy magazine if you had subsistence or auto-loading holster, or even outlaw, really. But if you have bad luck and you don't get any of those things, you could run it. But appended mag, subsistence, you can do Vorpal weapon. I mean, I guess if you want Vorpal weapon, you'd want auto-loading holster Vorpal weapon. If you get subsistence, you probably want dragonfly, is what I would imagine, right? Or maybe adrenaline junkie.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Or swashbuckler.
Sense.
It's got all of the... It's got grenade buckler and swashbuckler.
Yeah. yeah, I feel like dragonfly subsistence is another one of those combinations that could be incredibly potent for keeping the weapon loaded. You're going to potentially get a lot of kills every time you fire into a crowd. And so that can really reload the weapon for you very quickly. All right, well, that is Avalanche.
What's that leave us with? Just Zephyr?
Just Zephyr. Zephyr is a sword.
Why do they keep giving us swords, man? A lot of new perks on this one, though.
It does have a lot of new perks. It's got sword stats, which is to say basically the same stats as every other sword. Not anything to write home about. And yeah, there it is. So
Stasis.
Let's...
Which is nice.
It is stasis, which I think is awesome. I love that we're finally starting to fill in the gaps in the various types of weapons with this new damage type. This not so new at this point damage type that we've had for quite a while, finally filtering its way across the board. And so let's talk about some of the new perks on Zephyr, because that I think is what makes it exciting. And the first one, and I don't know. Maybe this drops for everybody. I wasn't really sure, but my first Zephyr came with Cold Steel. Is that the default drop?
I don't know. I deleted my first one because it was a sword and I was like, Zephyr. And I just deleted it and didn't even look at it.
Oh man. So Powered sword hits slow targets is what the perk does. I haven't had a chance to play with it yet, but I think it's very exciting that they're bringing these stasis effects into the game on weapons. And I look forward to seeing more of these like energy type effects come in from Solar, from Void, from Arc. But yeah, I also think that's really fantastic for taking down overload champs who are constantly trying to friggin' teleport and sometimes don't get disabled on the first hit like they're supposed to. So being able to actually slow them down enough to finish them off is occasionally very helpful. So pretty happy to see that. It's also got Harmony, which is interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about having Harmony on a sword. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense in PvP. Unless you are quick swapping to your heavy occasionally. Maybe you're going on a lot of kill streaks, I guess, and you're swapping between heavy and special. I don't know. In PvE, however, it is a great ad clear damage buff. You get a kill with something else, you've got 7 seconds of a 20% damage bonus. That said, great isn't good enough because Whirlwind Blade is still better. Because Whirlwind Blade, even though they made it now take twice as many swings, still gets you up to 30%, and once you're there, you'll stay there. And it's just strikes. You don't have to get kills or do anything. There's no timer. There's a duration of 3 seconds, I suppose. So you have to hit something every 3 seconds with your sword. That's a pretty low effort bar to hurdle. So Whirlwind Blade for me remains hands down the strongest PvE damage perk on a sword, despite them literally nerfing it very heavily. In PvP, it doesn't have some of the exciting perks that are on the other swords that we haven't talked about yet. It does have Duelist Trance, which doesn't do you any good there, but is actually quite decent in PvE. That increased charge rate means more heavy attacks, which can be very, very helpful in PvE. It does have Assassin's Blade. The sword kills boost movement speed and damage. It's a 15% damage buff. It's a pretty noticeable movement speed increase as well. I like that in PvE. In PvP. It's not too shabby in PvE for ad clear either. And again, it's a pretty low effort. Getting one sword kill to get 15% damage, very easy to do. But you can't use it for boss damage, which is why I still prefer Whirlwind Blade. So, yeah, I think that's about all I have to add to swords. Relentless Strikes for PvE remains the go-to way to regenerate your sword ammo. Landing 3 light attack hits within a short time grants sword ammo. You've got a couple of seconds to get that done. It's very, very easy to activate. Tireless Blade gives you ammo for every other powered sword kill. So it's a good option for using a sword for ad clear in PvE. And it's the choice that you want to make in PvP if you want to try to get a few more sword kills.
Yeah. I'm not a sword guy. We know this. We've talked about it. What sticks out to me, what jumps out to me is like a Relentless Strikes Whirlwind Blade combo where I'm basically doing the same action. I'm getting two bonuses from it. You know, yep. A little bit of ammo returned, a little bit of damage. It's fun that they're putting non-sword related perks onto this. You know, you get Thresh, which is a fun perk. You get Harmony, which is a fun perk. You get, for people like me who are like not sword guys, I see these and they like immediately, you know, perk my ears up because I'm a lot more familiar with these. Unrelenting could be really fun in something like Dares where you're using swords for ad clear because you'll pretty much be constantly recovering your health.
Yeah.
To me, it's just they so badly want to make the whole blocking and guarding with swords thing happen.
They really do.
I honestly don't think I've ever seen someone using it other than when they're standing next to a boss and they don't want to get like blasted backwards. But you've got so many perks that are that are focused on that, you've got energy transfer, which is guarding while receiving damage generates class ability. You've got counterattack, blocking an attack immediately after guarding increases damage. You've got flash counter, melee blocked immediately after guarding disorients and weakens the attacker. Like, it's just, to me, it's like, oh man, okay. Like, even Duelist Trance, which sword final blows grant you increased charge rate, it also grants you increased efficiency and defense. And it's like, there's so much being invested into these perks that, as far as I'm aware, the mechanic sees very little use. Maybe there's like an in-game PvE use for it. But as far as I've ever seen swords use, it's like half the perks are focused on a mechanic that, to my knowledge, doesn't see a ton of use, which has always kind of been a bummer to me about swords.
It is interesting that they continue to invest in trying to get us to block things. It's an effect that has at various times been pretty powerful. It's not crazy strong right now, to my knowledge. And none of the perks would cause me to use it in a situation where I wouldn't otherwise use it. Counterattack is a pretty powerful damage buff. 50% damage increase for 2 seconds. But it only works if you are standing next to a boss that is continuously trying to stomp you. And, Whirlwind Blade is just very low effort for a 30% damage buff. You have to hit him 10 times, but like, you were going to do that anyway. So I feel like it's just, it's like you said, it's a lot of effort to try and make something work that I'm not sure it's rewarded sufficiently.
And like for the guards too, it's like, I don't care anything about guarding. So I just immediately discount every single guard except for Swordmaster's guard, because that gives me plus 10 to charge time, which is really the only thing I care about, so I can get my heavy attack back faster.
Exactly.
So,
yep.
Yeah, just not really a fan of swords. But yeah, so that's it, guys. So a mostly, I would say, underwhelming showing of weapons from the Dawning. You know, they're all reprised guns. Some of them have some new perks. Some of them all have reprised perk pools. I'm not head over heels in love with any of them. I think there's some great rolls on Coldfront, but it's statistically just a bad weapon, which sucks. If it were a better weapon or a better archetype, it might be more useful. Glacioclasm, I've still got the same role I was hunting last year, so that'll keep me occupied for a little bit. Avalanche, again, good rolls on a bad gun, and Zephyr's a sword, so.
It's a sword that slows enemies. You know, that's basically the big takeaway. That's what I wanted out of it, and it was the first drop that I got, so I probably won't be farming Zephyr going forward, but there you have it.
All right, guys. Well, that is it for episode 241. That is going to be our last episode of the year 2021. We are obviously taking next week off to celebrate the holidays with family. And then we're probably not going to do another episode until 2022. So thank you guys so much for joining us on our journey in 2021. Like we said at the beginning of the podcast, it was a banner year for us. Record number of listeners. Patrons have just been out of this world. We've had probably our best two batches of patron rewards that we've ever done. I think the 100 Patrons Club,
yeah,
and now the 2021 patron rewards are just really freaking fantastic. So remember, if you want those rewards, you only have until January 1st to pledge or to buy them from the shop. So sooner rather than later, get in there and grab them if you want them. And I don't know. I mean, I guess everybody have a great holiday. Have a happy new year. Enjoy the rest of the Dawning. Enjoy the rest of the 30th anniversary celebration. We'll see you in 2022.
All right. Peace.